Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 16, ending in verse 20, where we will see that God says he will never leave you, and not only that, he has wonderful plans for you. But it's up to you if you want to walk according to his will and his plan for your life. Now let's join Pastor Dave as he finishes up the book of Matthew in chapter 28, verses 16 through 20.
I can't believe it. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Can you guys believe it? We made it through another book. I mean, every time I do it with you guys, I just think, like, how amazing. What an accomplishment just to move through God's word. Then the 11 disciples, they went away unto Galilee. It says, Matthew 28, verse 16. If you didn't bring a Bible, you can follow on the screen behind me. The 11 disciples, Judas is dead. He has hung himself at this point. There's 11 remaining, but notice there's 11. Peter is restored. Jesus already met with him on Resurrection Sunday morning. Jesus went and found him and spoke to him and encouraged him and ministered to him. He's back in the fold. Maybe some of you here this morning, you were a Peter. You were down in the dumps and Jesus went after you and you're back. Welcome home. We're so glad to have you here with us. He leaves the 99 and he goes after the one. Then the 11 disciples, he had already met with them alone before he would go and meet them now at this mountain. He upbraided them for their unbelief, Mark tells us. He didn't abandon them for their unbelief. He upbraided them. God will never abandon you. He will upbraid you from time to time. He will rebuke you. He will reprove you unto correction and restoration, but it's always for that purpose. He will never, ever abandon you. Whoever you are this morning, know that. He loves you. He's crazy for you. That's what this fast is for, just to get underneath his banner of love. He just wants to lavish you in his love. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. I think this is when, Bible students, the 500 came. Remember, Paul says that 500 witnesses testify of the resurrected Lord. I think it's at this instance. Perhaps blind Bartimaeus was there. Perhaps the centurion's servant was there. I think that Simon the leper probably was there. Mary and Martha and Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, probably was there. Many were there. 500 that saw him probably were there. And it says that when they saw him, they, verse 17, worshiped him. And man, what a service that must have been. They worshiped him as a majority, but then some of them doubted him. There were many who doubted him, and there were many that were worshiping him. It's like any church service, right? It's a mixed multitude. There will always be people amongst us that are worshiping God, that are loving God and believing his word and amening it. Then there will be doubters who are getting aggravated with the ameners. There will be doubters who are getting aggravated with the hand lifters. There will be doubters who are scrutinizing the word of God as it goes forth. That's always the case, even when Jesus is pastoring. Even when Jesus is teaching, but what a service it must have been as they beheld the resurrected Lord. So many of them were there that loved him, that knew his favorite foods, that saw his miracles, that heard his words, that looked into his precious eyes. They had grown to love their Lord, and he was resurrected. And all the things that he had said to them previously before his death were starting to resurrect in their minds and in their lives and were becoming a reality to them. Like it will be for you and I when we go before him like Daniel prayed. when we go before him, when we see him, all the things that he has told us in his word will come to life in such a way that we can't even fathom. They will all make sense. They worshiped him. And Jesus came and he spake unto them. And he said in verse 18, please notice here, he says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. That does my so well this morning. He is all-powerful God. All power in heaven belongs to who, church? Jesus. All power on earth belongs to who, church? Jesus. We can do better. All power in heaven belongs to who? Jesus. All power on earth belongs to Jesus. He is the all-powerful, almighty God. And because of that, he can then commission us to go and to teach, it says in verse 19, all nations. A better translation than teach there is make disciples. Go and make disciples, and here's how you're going to do it. Baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost, and then you're going to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, Jesus says, I am, that's ego emi, it's I am, it's how God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. I am the self-existent, self-eternal, almighty God and wrapped in human flesh. I am with you always. The translation is the whole of every day. I am with you the whole of every day individually, even unto the end of the world. And Matthew says, amen. Listen, all authority, all nations, all things, all the days of our lives. Lord, we thank you for your word. Open it to us, we ask, Lord. Speak to us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. I do. That's what I'm calling our message this morning. It's I do in the Greek. The I sounds more like an E. And I'm doing that on purpose because Jesus uses that word there when he says lo in verse 20. He wants us to catch something. Lo, stronger than behold. It's like behold, but it's heavier and weightier than behold. It's I do. Or the way I say it is I do. It's this, see this, catch this, know this. I am committed to being with you, which is what's going to give you what you need to do what I've asked you to do, the Great Commission. I am committed to being with you the whole of every day, all the days of your life. It's as though Jesus is at the altar with us saying, I do. How many of you have been married for a year? At least a year. Would you raise your hands? Second service, I'm going to make him stand up. So I'm giving you guys a break, but I know you're still cold and tired. How many of you have been married? Let's keep playing. I've always wanted to be a DJ and do this at a wedding. I enjoy this game at weddings, so let me just have some fun here. How many of you have been married for at least 5 years? Would you raise your hand? That's awesome. 10 years. Keep them up. Yep, me too. 15 years. 20 years. 30 years. Come on, keep them up. 40 years. 50 years, 60 years, 55 years, 56 years. I don't want to be done playing. Is that it, 56? 56 years. That's insane. That's awesome. That's amazing. Now I'm able to see you guys, so I hope you don't get upset about this, but can we talk for just a moment? When you were at the altar 56 years ago, and you said after the priest or pastor was performing the ceremony, as you said, I do, did you have any clue what you were saying to one another? Not really, right? Be careful. It's not a trick question. I don't want to, after 56 years, I don't want to ruin what God has done. But you've really learned what you said to each other through those 5+ decades, haven't you guys? And what a testimony of faithfulness and love, and we are honored to be in your presence this morning. You're teaching the rest of us what it means and what it meant and what it will mean one day for those of you who are not married when you say, I do. And we say, I do to one another like I'm committed to you. I'm going to love you for better, for worse, through sickness or in health, right? I mean, like I'm in this with you, for I'm committed to you. That's what the words I do mean in our culture. You knew it right away. As I was building on this title this morning, you knew where I was going. I mean, I do. It's like, I'm with you. I'm in this with you, Shauna, to the end of days, man. We're going to bring kids into this world. This is what I live for. We're going to bring kids into this world. We're going to raise them. We're going to have grandbabies one day. We're going to be Papa and Nana, God willing. Like, if Jesus tarries, this is the next best thing. Like, this is what we're living for. To sitting on rocking chairs on our porch and to see our kids pull up with their kids and give them to us and then see them get back in their car and leave and get out of our house. And, like, this is what we are living for. It's all based on I do. Jesus gave you an edu. I do. Lo, I'm with you forever. I'm with you forever, even until the end of the age, the consummation of the age. The world is done and over with, man. I am going to be with you. In fact, Jesus said, it's necessary that I go. Because until I go, I can't give you my spirit, which is what I relied on to walk out my earthly ministry, to overcome sin, to have victory over the devil. Like, that same spirit that raised me from the dead and empowered me is going to be yours, church. But I can't give it to you, I can't give him to you until I leave. And it's through his person, the Spirit of God, my spirit, it's through that I'm going to be with you all the way till you come home to be with me. And it's based on that truth, that low, that stronger than behold, which you guys, if you go here, I hit those beholds hard every week. Behold, stop and consider this. Behold, speed bump, stop, look, glance, glare, this is heavy, right? It's even stronger than that. Low, he says, take it to heart, see this, I'm going to be with you forever. I'm never going to leave you. Now, on that note, he says, I've got plans for you. It's up to you, church, to reach the world in 2019. For them then, it was the first century. It was for them to reach those who were around them in their world at that time. For you and I today, it's on us. Perhaps we are the most privileged generation to ever live. Should we be the generation that sees the return of Jesus Christ? And he has given to us the Great Commission. I want you to go and make disciples. But the word go there is not the emphasis in the scripture. It's make disciples. The verb form is discipleize. I want you to go and discipleize, which means this. Like, everywhere and anywhere you go, your mindset should be to make disciples. You got to make disciples. But in order to do that, you've got to do what Mark tells us in Mark 16. You've got to preach the gospel. So there's an order here. Preach the gospel, which is evangelize, which is what you do with unbelievers. You preach to unbelievers. You teach believers. Preach and evangelize to the world, all predicated on I do. I'm with you. Preach, evangelize everywhere. And everything is a witnessing opportunity. The cashier at Wegmans, the guy that took your machine at the gym, you didn't kill him. That's a witnessing opportunity. You're in my way, but I'm going to let it be because Jesus saved me and maybe he'll save you too, right? I mean, like, everything's a witnessing opportunity. Family dinners, gatherings, work events, the locker room, wherever you are getting your mail at the mailbox while your neighbor is, everything is a witnessing opportunity. Preach the gospel. Preach and evangelize. You're going to make disciples. I'm going to keep coming back to that. I'll tell you why in a moment. You're going to preach the gospel. Then, he says, those who receive and believe, it's an internal thing. He says, they will be saved. It's written in such a way in Mark's gospel. It's constructed in a way where it's passive. You had nothing to do with it. You're believing. That's you putting all your weight in response to preaching on Jesus Christ. And then it's a work of God that saves you. See, I'm preaching right now. Then you get saved based on what Jesus has done. And then there's an outward expression of the inward commitment, water baptism. In fact, it's probably not even a real commitment if there's not some type of outward demonstration reflecting it. If it's only professed with the mouth, but there's no conversion of the heart, well, then that will be obvious. There'll be no fruit that flows from a person's life. But if a person professes Christ and he believes and puts all his or her weight on the person of Jesus for his finished work at Calvary's Hill and his resurrection from the dead, from the grave, then there's going to be outward manifestations that flows from that individual's life, like water baptism. And then he says, after that, then you're to teach. You are to teach all things that I have committed to you to them. I do, he says. I'm with you always to do all of these things, even to the end of the age. The age isn't over yet, so his vow stands. And the plan hasn't changed. We don't got to wonder, what do we got to do in 2019 to reach our generation? It's never been more complex. It's never been more difficult. Sin has never been more readily available at the touch of a phone, a gadget, a computer, in people's hands, young people's hands, old people's hands, middle-aged people's hands. We don't got to sweat it. The plan doesn't expire. It doesn't change. These are the things that we are to do to glorify God till he calls us home. He does it with us, and we do it for him. All nations, all people, the whole world, all things, all the days of our lives. It's the greatest privilege in the world, but it's also the greatest responsibility. We have no right to say with what we've been entrusted with by Almighty Jesus, this isn't for me. I'm introverted. I don't do that. I do not want to participate in this. No, no, no. We've been entrusted with this to reach our generation, because Jesus says in Mark that if a person doesn't receive and believe, then they will be damned. So we need to take that heavily and seriously, and that needs to be our motivation to pluck people from the fire like Jesus has done for us. Everyone with me so far? So step number one, how do we make disciples? Well, number one, we make disciples. We make disciples. We say of a person physically that they are mature when they can sexually reproduce. That's a sign of maturity. I'm not talking about mental maturity. I'm talking about body maturity, right? Like a kid can't reproduce because they're not developed enough yet. But when they can begin to reproduce, their body is maturing, we say, right? That's a polite way to say it. So it is spiritually. Like when you start reproducing, you're maturing spiritually. And we make disciples. Disciples aren't necessarily born overnight. They don't just come out disciples. They, as we preach to them, and as we evangelize to them, and we share the love of Jesus with them, the gospel, everybody know what I mean when I say that? If you don't, raise your hand, please. I want to tell you what the gospel is if you don't know. Everybody gets it when I say the gospel, right? Jesus' death, his crucifixion, his payment for our sins, his resurrection, John 3:16. As we preach that, as we evangelize, we understand that right away that person is not going to be what they're going to be when Jesus is finished with them. We're making disciples. We make humans with our spouses, and we lead them in the journey. We start with them very simply and easily, just a little bit of milk, formula, whatever it would be, and we nourish them, and we put up with them, and we wipe their coolies, and we change their diapers, and we sing them lullabies, and we read them stories, and we lose sleep in the night, right? We do all of these things, and we introduce them to soft foods, and we wean them from that into solids, and there's this process. We're invested in it. It's exhausting sometimes. Sometimes you wonder, should I have ever been a parent? I don't even know what I'm doing. But we're making our children into adults through our leading, through our guiding, through our directing. Jesus says, do you get it? Because if you get it, apply that spiritually. A person that comes to Jesus Christ is born again of the Spirit. They're like newborn babies. If I do an altar call right now and y'all get saved, or a bunch of you get saved, you are not going to be with Jesus where I am with Jesus. However long I've been walking with Jesus makes me that old in Jesus. You don't just become a 30-year-old Christian at conversion. So why do we as the church sometimes put a trip on people that are new to Christ, that they are not mature like we think they should be yet? They're babes. We're making disciples. It's a process. It's forbearing. It's being patient. It's being kind. It's being gentle. It's directing. It's instructing. It's a process. And you are mature when you put up with new people in Christ gently, kindly, graciously, mercifully, like Jesus has done with you. We're making disciples. We preach to them. We evangelize. It's not just telling them things. It's in the right timing. Sometimes it's in the course of many years, not just at one sitting. Sometimes it's little deposits here and there, little opportunities here and there, because we're in it for the long haul, man. We're building relationships. We're building trust. I could do a whole sermon on it. I don't have time right now, but you get what I'm saying. And as we evangelize and as they believe, as they take that stance of putting all their weight and their confidence on Jesus, Messiah, then that there should be this direction that comes from us, that now it's time to outwardly display that you are his and that he is yours. Now, for us today, that's like saying an altar call. Baptism for them then was like an altar call that we do in church today. They only had the temple at this time. The temple was still polluted. The temple was still under false operation by religious leaders. So they didn't have church organized in buildings like we do today. You have to understand that, okay? It's like if you're like my family, we were Catholic. If you're an Italian, you're Catholic, right? You're a nominal Catholic. That's how it goes. They would not understand that this is church doing this in a Catholic building. It would be like sacrilegious activity. They would geek. They would lose their minds. So what happened for them then is they would go out into the wild. They would go to some river. It didn't matter. There were mitzvahs everywhere. There were all sorts of ordinances and baptisms that they had to do legally, but they broke from that after they believed and were saved. And then they would outwardly demonstrate to their family and to their friends that in my going under the water, it's like my burial. In my going under the water, it's like you can't bury somebody in dirt at a baptism, so it symbolizes, it's like me going in the grave, me going in the ground. And me coming up out of the water is my newness of life. It's me walking and living in his resurrection power. It's not the old me anymore that lives. I'm a new person. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let it ride and hit the ground.